This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Interest rates are jumping on what is a volatile day for the bond market. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. What started in Europe last week moved to the U.S. bond market today, a sharp sense that interest rates are really going to trend higher. The 10-year Treasury yield earlier today was at around 2.3%, the highest since November. In the grand scheme of things, that is still awfully low, but the moves are sharp and caught some market players off guard. On Tuesdays, we consult Julie Niemann, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hello, Julie.
Morning, David.
So help me understand these interest rates a-popping this morning. Market players are waking up, Julie, to the notion that interest rates are going higher, not lower. Where have they been?
Well, in Germany, the big sell-off was in the 10-year bond, and that was due to a number of things. We had a weak U.S. gross domestic product report. That was because of snow and all kinds of other good things. Strength in Europe. We've actually seen a little bit of growth happening in Europe, but all this combined to see a real big sell-off in Germany and then also a huge sell-off in Treasury bonds. The big cause in the U.S. Treasury sell-off, though, is we have very big problems right now in the U.S. bond market. Poor liquidity.
All right. Well, what does that mean, though, exactly?
Well, it basically is no buyers. U.S. banks have always been big buyers of U.S. Treasuries and other bonds. Now there are some regulatory restrictions, and these very low yields make it unattractive for banks to really lock in any kind of long-term debt here. But before we start hyperventilating, you have to keep in mind we're just starting up from close to zero, moving our way to 1%. The market's already doing this. This is still not going to kill the economic recovery in the United States because interest rates will stay low.
If you're a bond trader, you see it different this morning, but then there's the rest of us who live in the real economy. Julie Niemann at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Always good to talk to you.
You bet.
See it differently, David. We're keeping an eye on what the media industry calls the upfronts, networks showing off their new shows to advertisers in New York this week. It's also when we find out about the new and the canceled shows. American Idol, the program that launched the careers of singers Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood, is in the canceled category now, with news there's just one more season left. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at the show's 13-year lifespan.
To every TV season, turn, turn, turn.
Nothing is forever in TV land.
Sam Craig is a professor at NYU. He says, consider a viewer who might have started watching American Idol at 17.
It's sort of this inexorable movement. When you're 30, you're not screaming and oohing and aahing to the same extent that you did when you were a teenager.
Plus, Idol's talent show format has spawned lots of competitors it now has to compete with, everything from The Voice to Dancing with the Stars. But while Idol has less than a third of the viewers it had at its peak in 2006, its viewership is still pretty significant. 9 million per episode, says Max Dawson with Frank and Maggot Associates.
That still makes Idol one of the top two or three rated programs on Wednesday nights. The problem is this. It's probably also one of the most expensive programs on Wednesday night.
In the beginning, Dawson says Idol was cheap to make. But as its ratings climbed, so did the salaries of its judges and hosts. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Today we learned about the future location of the Obama Presidential Library. The answer, not Honolulu, not New York, but President Obama's hometown. The Barack Obama Foundation will need to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to pull this off. And what might Chicago get out of it? Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Washington Park is in Chicago's south side. It's been mentioned for months now as one of the most likely locations for the Obama Library. The area's not much to look at now.
It is lacking in development investment, honestly.
Jason Horwitz of the Anderson Economic Group is standing across the street from the park. Around him are empty lots, vacant buildings, and not much else. Horwitz studied the potential economic benefit of the Presidential Library for areas like this. The study was funded by the University of Chicago, which bid to host the library and wants to place it where it can have the greatest economic impact.
There's going to be a lot of genuinely new investment in this area, and that's going to provide a real opportunity for others to come in and invest as well.
Horwitz says you could see dozens of new restaurants and shops, even a hotel. In total, $200 million in annual economic activity from 800,000 visitors.
It would be fantastically unprecedented for 800,000 visitors to come to a presidential library.
That's Anthony Clark, author of The Last Campaign, a book about presidential libraries.
The idea that the library creates an economic boost that lasts indefinitely is just not borne out by the numbers. In fact, library attendance, no matter which library, declines over time.
So the impact on local economies is modest, he says. Benjamin Huffbauer, author of Presidential Temples, agrees. But he points out one big exception, the Clinton Library, which was built amidst mostly abandoned warehouses in Little Rock, Arkansas.
And it sparked hundreds of millions of dollars of private investment, and now it's a very successful touristy area in downtown Little Rock.
So why was the Clinton Library different? Jason Horwitz, who conducted the Chicago study, says the key factor was that downtown Little Rock was already being targeted for redevelopment.
But it certainly seems that the Clinton Library served as an anchor when a lot of other development was occurring in this downtown area, and it was a complement to that.
In other words, he says presidential libraries can help, but they can't transform an area all by themselves. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.